Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Look Up. We're glad that you've joined us once again. And we're going to continue this topic, subtopic of, life-changing truths, scriptural perspectives on marriage. And now we're talking about suffering in marriage. I feel like as we ended yesterday's program, we left a few things hanging there. I felt bad at the end of the day. Sometimes I lay my head at the pillow at night and I think, you know, I need to clarify those things I said about abuse, because there's a lot of abuse going on in marriage. When is it okay to divorce? When is it not okay? When's it okay to get out of the house? When's it not okay? There's a lot of things to talk about. I'm sure in this half-hour show we're not going to cover it all. But there's all kinds of suffering besides abuse. In this room, we've got enough stories and examples, even from people we've counseled to dealing with things in our own marriage, that I think we need to address. And so here's the verse we were on last. I'm going to have Linda tell you how you could call in, because I really want to hear from you guys as well. Our listening audience, it's so valuable, because some of you might have been listening yesterday and you're going, well, wait a minute, you're saying I can't divorce my husband when he does this and that and this to me? Well, let's talk about it. You know, every case is different. And even as we were discussing on the way in today, the four of us driving in the car, we're thinking, sometimes there's two identical situations, and if you each seek the Lord, God will give you a different direction than he would give somebody else, because he knows your heart, your situation, your husband, your wife, and you need to seek the Lord, okay? Above all things, you need to make sure that you're connected, you get your vertical going right, and you're connected to the Lord, you're hearing from him. So I'll remind you, we do have some friends visiting from out of state. We've got John and Maureen Schaefer. And, of course, my wife, Linda, is here with us as well. So Linda's going to tell you how to communicate with us. If you're not comfortable with calling, you could text. But I'm begging you, call in. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi, everybody. And Mike didn't say, John is the senior pastor of First Love in Whittier, California. So we've been friends a long time. So you got a couple pastors and a couple pastors' wives sitting in this room. So if you got a question for them, please give us a call. We would love to talk to you about it. That is 208-377-3790. Again, 208-377-3790. That'll put you live on the air with us. If you can't handle that, talking live on the air, but you have a question or comment, go ahead and text Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone. And that would be 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, put a comment. We keep an eye on that one too. So let's get started.
Okay. Now, let me read the context again of what we're looking at. And I want to make sure that we look at particularly verse 19. That's the one I'm thinking of. Let me read it to you again. Let's see. We'll start with verse 12. It's subtitled in my Bible, and some of you would have it as well, Suffering for God's Glory. And believe me, the supreme example of that is Jesus Christ himself. And if he could do it, not if he could do it, we could do it, but if he did it, then he's expecting us to follow him in like manner and be willing to suffer when it comes to that. So here we go. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, so that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Now, I like that, by the way. It's keeping one of the ways to deal with suffering, folks, is to look ahead and realize there's coming a day when Christ will be revealed, and you'll be glad that you put up with suffering rather than cause suffering to others, rather than react it improperly. There's so much to say about verse 13 as well, and maybe among the four of us we will. Verse 14 says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rest upon you. There's a thought. When you're being persecuted for the right reasons, because you are doing good, when you're walking with the Lord, you're being persecuted, it says the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Verse 15 then goes on to say, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody. You know, we're talking in the car on the way out. John was saying that's going from, you know, 10 to a 1. You know, you're suffering as a murderer, or you're suffering as a gossiper, you're a busybody, you know. Keep reading, because there's so much we want to say here. Verse 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Now, the verse 19 is where I really want to focus today, because there's so much in here. But of course, if you guys want to talk about the rest of the text, because there's context here, guys. Verse 19 says, and I'm in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. And so we talked yesterday that there's times when you could suffer according to the will of God. This is a foreign concept to way too many people. They think suffering is not God's will, which I should never suffer. If I'm his, and there's some preachers who preach that from the pulpit. If you're a child of God, you should never get sick. You should never be poor. You'll always be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And it's false doctrine. Right here in 1 Peter 4:19, we're told that there's times when you will suffer and it will be according to the will of God. But when you do suffer according to the will of God, what you need to do is commit your souls, and I'm reading from it, commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. Now, it just dawned on me two things about this. Who's doing the good? One, you need to continue doing good, but I think it's also talking about God will continue to do good as a faithful creator. Now, I do see that Maureen's got something she wants to add to this. Maureen, what do you see in here?
Well, I think it's really great that you're bringing this up, Mike, because at the beginning of chapter 4, it says that since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind.
That's right.
So when we're getting this instruction, we're getting a mindset.
Right.
And it actually says arm yourself with this mind. So it's part of our weapons and being able to handle times of suffering is having a mindset that this is not something I'm supposed to be surprised at or think it's strange.
It won't be so disarming.
Right. There you go.
If you're ready for it, you know, if you realize this could and will come to any Christian, you know. Okay. Something else I did want to cover, and if anybody else has something, please speak up, is that many examples either from our lives or examples from lives of people we've counseled without giving any names, of times when it's appropriate to endure suffering according to the will of God. And we're talking about marriage, but of course, this covers all areas of life. But I want you guys to know out there that there's times that you need to hang in there in your marriage, even when it's a painful relationship, even when there's some abuse going on or some suffering taking place. That's not an automatic ticket to punch out and leave your marriage because there's some bad going on. Now, I see you both have something here. No? John?
All right. Well, you know, I was thinking that, you know, there's a lot of fiery trials that come into our lives. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you're married, you go through that with your married partner. And now, of course, it could be that your spouse is a thief and they end up in jail. And then you got to go visit them. You know, Ananias and Sapphira obviously were both dishonest before God together and both suffered consequences as far as being struck dead, kind of a serious thing as far as suffering in their life. God is so merciful to us and lets us kind of lift each other up and go through that suffering together. And for my wife and I, she's gone through cancer for the last 6 years. And that definitely brings an element into a marriage of, you know, going to, you know, scans and visits of the hospital and things like that. And but I will tell you that you can see in a person's life that, you know, God has things designed that are his will and his plan. It's not that he made her have the cancer, but he uses it obviously for his glory. And that's what I see in this section of scripture, is that it says that it says on your part, he is glorified. And I think that's the main thing in the suffering that we go through. Even if it's something that your spouse did wrong or it's something that your spouse is going through, no matter what it is, that suffering or that fiery trial that's in your marriage, it's like, Lord, how can you be glorified through this? How can you get the best results and the best praise through this? And people can see this as a witness in some way.
Mm-hmm. That's like the old Romans 8:28 Versus, as we know that God causes all things to work together for the good, to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so I'd remind those of you out there who maybe are suffering somehow in your marriage, if you love God, if you're called according to his purpose, and you're seeking to follow the Lord, then you need to hold course and trust that God's going to use your circumstance for the good. It's going to be for his glory, and I would even say for your good.
Hi, guys. And as you know, if you've been following us at all this last year, that last September we lost our daughter to suicide. And you know, the statistics are that we've been told, I didn't check it up myself, so it could be wrong, but I've been told that 9 out of 10 marriages don't survive losing a child. Now, because of the Lord, it's drawn us closer. And hopefully, if you've been with us this last year, you have seen that in our lives, that we have turned around, even though we're still suffering from this. Don't think this goes away, folks. The suffering, the sadness is still there. But we don't let the enemy have the victory. We turned around and we have used every bit of this for the Lord. We've taught in California, I taught in Colorado. I mean, the Lord has opened doors because we're willing to use our suffering for his glory and to remain faithful, to show people we made it through with God's help, with God by our side. You can do it too. You can make it through too. And it's not just us. Like I said, there's a whole plethora of suffering that's gone on in just this room. And sometimes people say, hey, why? You guys have served the Lord. Why is this happening to you? Part of me, what I feel part of the why is we can take it. We love the Lord. He knows who he can entrust suffering to. And instead of break them, it will make them stronger for him and closer to him. Not everyone can handle suffering, and they fall apart and they turn away. But I think the Lord knows his faithful children who does not enjoy suffering, but will endure it and use it. Find a way that this can all be used for God's glory.
Also, sometimes when suffering comes into our lives and into our marriage, as we made a covenant on the first day, if we spoke the traditional vows, there was a spectrum that we said we commit to, you know, richer, poorer, better, worse, sickness, and in health. Sometimes suffering comes to show us we're not building things correctly, that sometimes the shaking in our lives is meant to show us we're not building with the right materials. It doesn't pull you guys together. You're at each other's throat because your child OD'd. That isn't the time to say, our marriage is over. It's the time to say, hey, we haven't been building it with the right materials. Even to just cry together and say, we don't know what to do, and we're mad at each other because we hate what's going on. We're blaming God, and we shouldn't. I encourage you during those times of suffering, just get next to your bed, kneel next to each other, and say, Jesus, we don't know how to do this. I was raised in the church, but I haven't been living for you. Lord, help us. Send new materials. I remember when in Whittier, California, we had a big earthquake one time, and a lot of beautiful houses had to be torn down because, I mean, they didn't make it because the foundation wasn't good. But they relaid the foundations of these homes, which was really interesting. They lifted the homes and they relaid the foundation and put everything back on it. I've never seen that before, but they can do that.
Wow.
And so even if you've been married for like 15 years, you've been building it thinking, oh, it's this, it's that, and then a tragedy comes into your marriage and you find out that just, you know, you being a hot-looking wife or a guy making a bunch of money, it's not the material, it's not the foundation to handle this suffering. Really just humble yourselves and say, we need your help, Lord.
Right.
He's not mad at you, and he's quick to lift that up and relay a foundation.
Amen.
Good. Thanks, Maureen. Now, we've talked about various kinds of suffering. There's something that we talked about yesterday that I feel like I didn't clarify enough, and I think it's the area of abuse we need to discuss a little bit. Because I realize, you know, like I said, sometimes I lay my head at the pillow on the pillow at night and I'm thinking, ooh, what I said on the radio station, that could have been taken wrong. And I want you to know there's times when you're in an abusive situation and God wants you to hang in there and stick it out. There's other times he wants you to get out either to protect the kids or to protect your own life. But there's so many varieties of situations that you just can't cover it on a little half-hour spot on the radio, okay? But you need to seek the Lord, and you need to say, God, what is your will for this situation? Because there's so many people today writing books or giving counsel that'll just give you a blanket statement. And of course, right now, today, anything that's controlling or manipulative is called abuse. And so what people are saying is, if a husband is controlling and saying, where were you today? What did you do today? And how did you spend the money? Or I won't give you the money to spend. And their counselor would say, that's abuse. You need to divorce that guy. Hold on a second. That is abuse. It's abusive. That man needs to learn how to treat his wife right. That man needs to learn how to love his wife and not control and demand. There's a problem there. But that is not grounds for divorce, okay? That's something that needs to be fixed. You know, you don't use grounds for divorce on every little problem, because otherwise none of us would be married. None of us would stay married. So I want to clarify a few things. Now, I know on the way in, we were talking and sharing stories. Maureen had some stories, and we've experienced people that we've tried to help in counseling situations. And let me just put it this way. If it comes down to your life is in danger or your children's life is in danger, then get out of the house. Okay, that doesn't mean divorce still, because the Lord could bring your husband to repentance or your wife to repentance. I really believe God wants to save every marriage. I really believe God loves marriage. He hates divorce. You need to work on that. And so the thing is, if you need to get out for your own safety or your children's safety, get out. You know, if there's drug deals going on in the house, or your husband is drinking and beating you or beating the kids, get the heck out of there, okay? But I would say divorce
is... Or bring in another woman in the home. Come on. That yeah, one counts,
yeah,
okay?
There's all kinds of things. And the thing is, there's different baby steps you take along the way to deal with some of this stuff. So I want you to think through some of that. And if you want to call in, maybe you've got a situation or you know of a situation, you want to know some advice on it, call us. The number here is area code 208-377-3790. Area code 208-377-3790. Because some of you are going, but my situation, or but I'm my sister's situation. Call us. Let's talk about it. We'd love to help you through it. Because there's no one blanket answer for any situation. Now, I noticed John had something he wanted to share here.
Okay, it's one of the scriptures that was read, but it says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. And the point is that when we're suffering, we want to get out of it, and we just think, oh, man, this suffering is horrible. How can I change my life? But really, when you do suffer, you can suffer according to the will of God by committing it to Him. Lord, you know, you suffered, and I'm experiencing this suffering, and it relates to you. It shows me what you went through for me. And so it's not just this bad thing, even though we hate it because we don't like suffering, but it says that you're rejoicing in the suffering because you're partakers of Christ's suffering. So even though that might be hard to understand at the moment, how can this marriage be part of Christ's suffering? But when you commit yourself into the will of God, and Lord, I commit this suffering to you, use it for your glory, it becomes something that you learn from and something that you learn about Christ's suffering for you. And so there's something deep in it, even though you're kind of stuck in the situation right now, but God wants you to get something out of it for His glory.
Right. So, okay, now another thing to add to that is that it's hard to rejoice in some of these things you go through, okay? And I'm not saying that you can rejoice when you get slapped across the face by a man or by a woman, okay? But every one of us have dealt with some things in our marriage. And I think I've told you, early in our marriage, like Linda and I, we had some really tough situations. You know, we didn't like each other. We had a hard time. We used to pray, God, kill one of us. Or I would pray, God, kill one of us. I don't care which one, because I knew divorce was wrong. But it's miserable. I can't stand being married with this kind of situation. And later, after we got everything fixed, she told me she was praying, God, kill him. Things were not good. Matter of fact, things were so bad.
We were young, folks.
We were young. This is a long time ago, okay?
40 years or so
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, okay, so over 40 years ago.
But look what God can do.
Absolutely.
With something like that, we were the couple that was deemed impossible. We were the ones that nobody would have given hope to. If you would have picked out who are those people you've seen get married around the same time as you that you don't think is going to make it, they would have pointed to us. And it's not because of us, it's because of God. It's because of Jesus and His faithfulness and our willingness to do things God's way.
Yeah, and so I want, the reason I'm even bringing this up is that you got to understand, right now things could look so hopeless in your marriage, and you could say, but you don't understand, this is unfair. Of course it's unfair. You know, by the way, life isn't fair, okay? The thing is, there were times in our marriage where Linda would tell me, I don't want anything to do with you. If you want a little love, you go find yourself a girlfriend. I mean, that's how bad it was. And I had guys at work trying to set me up, but I was a Christian. And so my job was to continue doing good, as it says here, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good. And so my job and your job in your marriage, you may think, well, I have every right to find somebody else because my wife isn't loving me or my husband isn't providing for me. You know, you could feel like, add up your reasons why you should do sin. Okay? And that's what people
excuses.
Do. You give excuses for, why do you want to sow more wild oats into the factor? Okay, it's already bad enough. Why do you want to make it worse? So if you're in a bad situation, and I understand, unfair, not right, shouldn't be, but you continue to commit your soul to him in doing good because that's God's answer for you. That's God's path for you. Or you could sin. Like, how many times have I met couples who've had struggles, and then the wife is praying, oh, God, save my husband, save my husband, save my husband. She finally runs out of patience, and she starts seeing other guys, and he gets saved. Now, he wants to make the marriage work, and he's praying, oh, God, bring my wife back, bring my wife back. You know, it's crazy. I mean, I've seen this so many different ways, and you got to realize your job in your marriage is to continue doing good and trusting in God. Maureen's got something for us here.
The Holy Spirit shows us in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13, says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, you know, the Holy Spirit says a remedy to get through suffering times is to pray. And what I want to encourage those of you who are in a situation where you feel like your mate is not loving you, when was the last time you prayed, Lord, help my husband love me. Show him how to love you. Let him think I'm just the next best thing to salvation that's ever happened to him. Because the Bible says that it is always the will of God to love, and anything we pray according to the will of God will be done. And so when we pray that, like we, you know, I meet with some gals who have difficult marriages, and we always say, Lord, spotlight the admirable qualities in each woman to her husband. Help them, when they're at work, bring a flashback in their mind of their favorite dish that they eat. Because the enemy always gets us to think on the things that are worthy of criticism and worthy of that we don't like about somebody. Even though there's 98 other things that are great about them, the enemy always magnifies the negative. And so we can always pray and we can say, Lord, help my husband love me. Make him think I'm just wonderful. And it's amazing what God could spotlight in his heart and his mind.
Amen. And you know what, by the way, I'd add to that, make sure you should be praying, God, help me to love my husband. You know, I think that there were times, and I'd say for Linda and I, let's make it personal. There were times she had a hard time loving me. There were times I had a hard time loving her. There's things you could get irritated about. There's things that you're not happy with, and you don't think it should be that way, and it's not fair. But you need to always be going before the Lord and saying, God, give me the right heart for my husband. God, give me the right heart for my wife. And I tell you what, there's been times I've had to pray that. We've been married 43. I mean, it just keeps going. I'll keep adding more years to it. But it's like there's been times when I've had to pray that, and God is faithful. He will restore lost love. Mm-hmm. He will. Sometimes Amen. He just commands you to return to your first love. But he also can restore those feelings
yes.
that you think are gone forever, and I could never love this person again. It's over. No. It doesn't have to be.
He's the resurrection.
God is bigger than that. And if you love the Lord and you keep your eyes on him and commit your soul to doing good, as 1 Peter 4:19 we just read, you hold course and watch what God would do. Now, our time is up. Folks, I will let you know that tomorrow we will not be here. We've got a special meeting. And so we're going to end up maybe playing some kind of rerun. But we'll see you the next day. What is it? It's
Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday. We'll see you Friday. Lord bless you guys. Thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at ccegle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to You.